I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at ISMG Corp. Today I'm speaking with Stephen Ramirez, who is VP and Chief Information Security and Technology Officer at Renown Health. And we're going to be discussing issues around identity. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, great to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So, Stephen, for those who may not be familiar with Renown Health, tell us a little bit about your organization, where it's based, you know, how many hospitals, that sort of thing.
Renown Health is based out of Reno, Nevada, so up in the beautiful Lake Tahoe area. We have four hospitals, an affiliation with UNR, newer affiliation on that, so really excited to kick off our journey with academic medicine and our academic affiliation. We're the 26th busiest emergency department in the country, so we see tons of volumes, and that's probably correlated to us being the only tertiary care site between Sacramento and Salt Lake City. We just started a transplant center. We're the area trauma center, have all the other specialties like that as well. So really making sure that we can keep care local and not make people have to travel elsewhere for that.
So, Stephen, you're here at the HealthSec Conference speaking about how your organization has modernized its digital identity. Describe the key steps that you've taken and the technologies you've implemented. And then looking forward, where does the identity of machines and AI agents kind of fit into all that?
Well, we're a big data-based organization. So really looking at identity, it's the precursor to 80% of all attacks that happen in healthcare. So we're big proponents of looking and dissecting events that happen, and it's always compromised password, improper access, et cetera to that. So really using that as our mantra, we've looked at identity access holistically. When I started at Renown, it was taking 20 days for people to get access. We turned that around to within 24 hours. We had disparate SSO and MFA, consolidated that into a single partner, looked at how we're going to do vendor access, manage it, et cetera. We're really excited about our partnership with Ping and Clear, that Ping really has a great orchestration platform called DaVinci that enables us to do more customized workflows. And what we mean by that is that with us signing with Clear, we're able to integrate facial recognition for password resets. We're moving to a self-service model for that. So really excited about being able to move forward with that and really keep our clinicians from having to call the service desk and also reappropriate funds as well that we're able to use for a clinical service desk with that. So really exciting on how we're thinking outside of the box. We're also looking at holistically how we do password reset management. That organizationally, a lot of organizations do 90 days, you have to reset your password. So we're moving to a risk-based approach to that, that if your password never pops up in a breach, you don't have to reset your password. If your password is 16 characters long, you don't have to reset your password. So while a password length is 16 characters, that's probably one of the strongest and most stringent under, you know, NIST standards. So we're really excited about that and, you know, really just working with our end users to come up with creative ways to how we can do that. And really that modernization to us is really opening up the pathway for more frictionless access for our clinicians. So that's step one on building the foundation. And then I've always said that my goal is to ultimately have the iPhone experience, that a clinician walks up to a device and they're able to unlock it with their face and or just use badge tap alone, because we do use Improvata tap and go. So really just looking at that ecosystem on how we can take away clicks and just really streamline things that, you know, what we do on our phones every day is part of that.
So now how has this strengthened identity security approach simplified access? You mentioned with the sort of, you know, facial recognition, and how has that better supported your operational and clinical goals, making things easier? You know, how has that all kind of worked out and what are the benefits?
Yeah, that was one of the big pieces that we had to focus a lot of our time on, that we're making all of these changes, so what's in it for me? And I've been going on my roadshow to really talk to our organization about, you know, what this means to them. So again, self-service passwords are like everywhere you go. So, you know, your Amazon account, your Delta Airlines account, you don't call the service desk. That's all done through self-service. So we see that as really a efficiency that you're able to just quickly change your password if you need to. But again, in tandem to that, with us moving to the never expire and more risk-based password approach, we're really hoping to have that driven down, because we had over 16,000 password resets in a single year. So just looking at that data, that's obviously a cost from people calling the service desk, time spent from our clinicians stepping away from patient care. So just how can we look at that overall optimized experience? So did meet with some of our clinical stakeholders and other organizations that had similar tech stack and model to that. So to really come up with that best of breed approach to really say, this is, we're going to modernize that end-to-end workflow. And we've gotten a lot of excitement about how we've discussed that throughout the organization.
So now, obviously, everyone here at the conference and everywhere else, really, these days, is talking about AI, and of course, we're talking about AI in healthcare. What sorts of digital identity issues do you see potentially stemming from AI use in healthcare, and how can organizations get ahead of those AI-related identity risks?
Well, AI agents are no different than how we onboard staff, so it's really important that we not get lost in the hype of what opportunities AI has and just have basic security hygiene around that. So the lifecycle management that we also do for identities of onboarding, offboarding, role-based access, that we do that same approach for non-human identities. So that goes back into our governance process, as well as having the tools that have the visibility to control, monitor, and actually do the same injections from a risk-based approach to do that. So we partner with a company called Silverfort that has kind of their secret sauce is non-human identities. So that really enables us to put the guardrails in for service accounts, other components like that. So really excited to be able to have a strong baseline as we're going that way. We're also very pragmatic in our approach to AI, that our analytics officer, as well as you know, executive team, are just now finalizing our AI strategy, because again, we're going to be platform-based AI, so that's a little bit more out of the box and we know what we're getting versus us trying to build it by ourselves. But also having centralized LLM, we're doing a RFP around, you know, selecting a partner around that. We're a co-pilot shop as well. We have our guardrails set up with that, with various tools. So it's just very important to not have AI sprawl and really just have those safeguards in place, in addition to our data loss prevention tools that really make sure that we're protecting data as people are starting to take advantage of these various tools.
And what are some of the most valuable lessons that you've learned along the way in terms of your own modernization of digital identity, you know, that approach, that you think would be helpful to other healthcare organizations who are trying to figure these things out?
Partnering with the business is key, and then storytelling to really speak to the journey. That we were actually at one of our leadership summits, and we were talking about, you know, different leadership techniques, and I got paired with two clinicians. So part of that exercise was to go through and speak to a, you know, project we're working on, some challenges and advice. So perfect opportunity for us to speak to, you know, the clear partnership that we had and their thoughts on it. So they gave us some, you know, great ideas on, you know, process improvement, process flow. So, you know, we always work with, you know, different stakeholders, but it's always important to, you know, drill down further with your clinical staff, because they're going to be the ones, you know, that are impacted day to day. So really keeping it tight with those stakeholders, I think is mission critical to that. And then telling the story of why, like storytelling, giving examples and letting people know we're not the only organization doing this. And then, you know, obviously equivocating to, like, you're going to the airport. So it's not like Renown's collecting your data. This is a, you know, industry and nationally, you know, tried and true solution, because people do it every day that travel at the airport. So I think garnering trust, storytelling, clear communication and collaboration are really the keys to success.
And finally, anything else that kind of rises to the top of the list when it comes to any sort of technology or security issues in healthcare right now that you're keeping an eye on that we haven't touched upon?
Yeah, I actually just got back from Cisco Live, which was a fascinating conference. And again, like this conference we're at now, AI was front and center to that. So I think that we're going to see with AI bring on the subset of, you know, everyone's bringing up Mythos. What does that mean? So there's a lot of security partners of ours that are all using Mythos to look for vulnerabilities, scanning, etc. So that's going to be on the forefront with identity. So we're actually looking at a tool called Zafrin that looks at holistically real-time vulnerability scanning, because I think I saw a number that CVEs are up, you know, almost 220%. You're never going to be able to patch everything, especially in a medical environment. So what's really great about this tool is that it enables you to get a risk-based score. And that's what, you know, really the core of what I've said before. I'm a big data risk rating, because again, we can't mitigate all risk. It needs to be reasonable, or we're going to shut down business operations. But it enables you to interject security controls based off of that. So you have this vulnerability, am I able to interject something from my tool stack as a compensating control? So that was really a lot of the theme that we had heard, and it was great to hear people outside of healthcare that were taking interest to this as well. So it seems like that's going to be the next forefront on not only identity, but really real-time vulnerability management, and then how we're using AI to combat AI. So but also, it's really important to stick to the basics, because again, I talked to vulnerability management, identity management, that again, if organizations focus and do the fundamentals very well on, you know, phishing protections, MFA, privilege access management, you know, really focusing on identity, patching where we can, segmentation, I think that's going to be really more important moving forward, as well as the minimally viable hospital term that's going around too, as well, that if, you know, all of these defenses, all of these strategies don't work, how can we recover as quickly as possible, especially with the HIPAA security rule requiring the 72-hour requirement. So I think that really those are all the, you know, buzzwords and key areas that we're making sure to monitor and keep up with at our organization.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. I've been speaking to Stephen Ramirez. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of ISMG. Thanks for joining us.